choices you make with your lifestyle, your money, every single day, influence your future. It is time to fight to make it better. This podcast is dedicated to you, to sharing ideas that you can use to take ownership of your financial future. Most Americans have little or no net worth. By being purposeful with what we earn, I know we can change that, and we must change that. I want you to learn this game. I want you to be better educated about your money. I want you to live a better life. Welcome to Money is Personal, Briggs Financial Podcast. Let's go! Salutations, greetings, and hello. My name is Stephen Briggs. I am chairperson and CEO of Briggs Financial Incorporated. Welcome to Money is Personal, episode number 153, Stressed Spending. Many people, including yourself, including myself, use spending as a means of de-stressing. That can take some different forms, whether that is the classic retail therapy, where you scroll on Amazon or Pinterest or Instagram until you find something you love in the moment, and then proceed to swipe or tap and buy it and feel good in the moment. And then it comes and you have another momentary feeling of bliss, and then hours or days later, it's gone. So when you start feeling stressed again, what do? You go back on the website and do it all over again. And you keep doing this because it feels good to accumulate. That rush feels great, like you're rich or something. Another classic is to go out to eat or have food brought in. From the feeling of a lack of time to a lack of energy to simply, I don't feel like cooking. Eating out is for many, and such most households, the third or fourth largest spending category, depending on whether you have childcare or not. Childcare is usually a bit above the food budget, but food budget is within that top three, top four in that range. And so while these feelings are good in the moment, they can also spell out long-term consequences for your money. That money could have been used to build up personal savings, pay off debt, or be invested. If you've already done, you've built your emergency fund, you've knocked out your high interest debt, you could have been investing. You could have been building toward your retirement or whatever other goals you might have. It isn't just that short-term dollars are affected. It's what those dollars could have done in the future. And what, you know, we like to call those future dollars or future bucks as slang, but those future dollars just got depleted. And to tell you how much of a deal this is, if let's say, you know, a couple of times a week you go out to eat to help mitigate stress, and let's say that adds up to just between that or a convenience store or whatever, you've spent just an extra $100 on stress mitigation. If you took that $100 a month and put it into an S&P index fund, so no fancy strategy, and you were able to earn a 10% rate of return, which is, if you pick like a typical 30-year period looking back, that's about what you see, depending on what 30-year period over the last 100 years you look at. You're right around anywhere from an 8 to a 12% return, so we'll take 10. If your average rate of return over that time is 10%, in 10 years' time, you'll have put in $12,000, but you'll have lost $20,000 future dollars after compounding. In 20 years' time, you'll have lost $72,400 future dollars. In 30 years' time, $207,000 future dollars. In 40 years' time, if you're a 30 or a 40-year-old going, you know, this money lasting you to 80, you lost $560,000 future dollars, of which only $48,000 of that is principal. So over $500,000 in future dollars is lost just by not putting in $100 a month into that bucket instead of putting it, whether it's feeding your face or buying yet another set of shoes or yet another video game, or I'm guilty of that, by the way, another video game or whatever that is. That's $500,000 in future dollars lost. Plus, it's $560,000. And the thing is, 30 or 40 years from now, you may not be able to continue working. That's the thing. AARP does a survey each year of 50-year-olds asking, when do you plan to retire? Over half of the people who respond say, I'm going to retire when I drop dead. They survey those people a decade later. And you know what those people say? Of that group that said, I'm going to work until I drop, over half of them have reduced how many hours they're working, either due to their own health or the health of a family member or friend. So what you think might happen and what does actually happen may be very divorced from each other. We have to be really honest. You have absolutely no idea what your health or your family's health may look like at that age. So the question this point comes to is this. Do you have so much saved up already right now that you can afford to take that risk and lose a potential $500,000 plus future dollars and say, nope, I'm not going to need that for later on? For the vast majority of people, I'd say absolutely not. You can't afford that. So here's my big question. How do you break out of the cycle? I think that first begins by understanding what situations cause these feelings to arise. And with that, I've got an exercise for you. What I'd like you to do is I'd like you to sit down with a notebook and a pen. Yes, you will be handwriting. Tactile reinforcement is excellent for cognitive retention. So paper and pen. And you're going to write down what situations cause you to feel stressed, to feel anxious, to feel tired, to feel like you want or need to escape. I want you to write them all down. Now, once you've written them down, I want you to take that list, and I want you to reduce it to your top five. And once you've done that, reduce it again to your top three stressors, the three situations or whatever it might be that causes you the greatest amount of anxiety, the greatest amount of stress. Now that you have your top three stressors, I want you to think about what can be done to either avoid those situations or to have a different action that can be taken to help reduce that stress. And to be clear, no, selling the kids is not an option. For example, if picking up kids from practices and daycare after school is a big stressor, is there a friend or family member that could help with that a little bit? If not, is there something that you could have ready at home to eat where all you have to do is turn the oven on, throw the dish in, and eat it like a frozen lasagna? Or maybe you pre-make a meal on Sunday, and again, you stick it in the fridge or you freeze it and just go, all we have to do is reheat this thing. Heck, you know, I do that at home, you know, just to save myself some time. And frankly, to preserve our fresh produce that we've got growing here at the house. You know, we make, you know, a number of small Ziploc bags of pesto sauce. And so all we do is, if we know that, you know, it's going to be a busy day, throw the pesto sauce bag into the fridge to thaw, get home, boil some water, throw some noodles in. 10 minutes later, drain it, add the pesto sauce, stir, and eat. In 20 minutes time, fresh food. Didn't have to order, didn't have to wait for the food, which when people go, oh, I want it to be quick, and then you proceed to order DoorDash and it takes 45 minutes for them to deliver your food minimum, and it's happened lukewarm and you had to pay a pile of money for someone to do that for you. Why? You could do this at home 20 minutes on your stovetop for way less dollars. Heck, I mean, think about it this way. If you get that frozen lasagna, let's say you say, Steven, I'm not a cook. Okay, so you go buy a big Stouffer's lasagna, 38-ounce Stouffer's lasagna, $10 to $15. Get a bag stat salad. Get some steamed veggies. It's a $20 meal. And that's still way cheaper and healthier than the time required to go through the drive-thru or ordering pizzas, having to drive to pick them up, or paying someone to deliver them. You're talking at least half, if not more, in terms of savings. These trade-offs are a big win each month, let alone over the long run. Now, let's say it isn't food for you. Let's say if retail therapy is the thing you kind of gravitate to most as your de-stressor. I'd say, well, what other activities could you do to replace it? Maybe that's getting a workout in. Maybe that's reading a book or watching a movie or show, or perhaps it's meditating in a quiet room or a closet. Or have you called a friend on Zoom or wait for a phone call? Crazy, I know, this whole, beyond texting, actually talking to a human being with your voice. I know, it's nuts. But basically, if that's, you're trading out the retail dopamine for an activity that can help you better yourself. Something you'll find more personal meaning, more personal fulfillment. Maybe it's you want to learn a new skill. Now, the problem with learning a new skill is sometimes those things turn into hobbies, which tend to be cost centers in their own right. But if it's something like getting better at something you already do, well, that's pretty cool. Or learning about something you don't know anything about. That seems fun too. But whatever it is, have some go-tos that are kind of pre-planned that when I feel bored, instead of getting on Instagram or on Pinterest or on Amazon or on Walmart's website or Target or wherever, nope, I'm not going to go into retail therapy mode. I'm going to do X instead. Or even better, when I browse, when I choose to open that app up, I need to catch myself and go, nope, I'm closing the app down and I'm doing this thing instead. I had a client actually sit there and say, every time I wanted to pick up Amazon, I had to do squats. Every time they did that, they'd sit there and go, nope, I'm not doing Amazon. And they get up and do some squats. And then thighs burned after a while, which is, I guess, good for your health, but at the same time, also a little bit of a physical reinforcement. Nope, don't do that. But whatever it is, I'm not saying you have to go and punish yourself for it. But what I would say is that I think it's important to not just say, I don't want to do that thing, or I don't want to spend as much, but go, well, what causes that spending? What causes that, and it's usually stress. For most people, stress is a leading cause of spending. And I see that in a vast majority of my financial planning clients. And so then it comes, okay, if there's a stressor, let's focus on how do we make the stressor either happen less often, not happen at all, or if the stressor is unavoidable. Let's say you have just a stressful job. Then whether it's having snacks at work or in the car, whether that's having some easy stuff ready to go at home, what can we do that so that you're not spending $55, $75 or more dollars each time you're calling up Uber Eats? Because that's not sustainable for most households. It just isn't. And we've gotten very used to the idea of having this food prepared for us and feeling rich, feeling wealthy, having that, when in fact what these things are doing, they're a complete drag on your ability to build actual wealth, your ability to have real net worth, real savings. You can't do that and be doing the DoorDashes, the Uber Eats, and all that all the time. Not possible. You're going to have to decide that building that net worth, building your financial security and independence is plain more important. And decide to make different decisions, make different choices, and then do that thing. Doing's the hardest part, I think. I think facing up to it is a close second. Facing up to it is the first part of it. Having a plan for it's the second. But then you got to do the thing. Now, here's one other thing. As you start doing this thing, you're gonna have a time or two where you're just gonna get too tempted and you're gonna slip. That happens. That's okay. You need to recognize what happened. I think going back and figuring out why you decided in that particular occasion to do the thing you know you weren't supposed to do instead. And then you re-result it, but I won't go back there again. I'm not going to do that another time. And you may fail a few times at this. That's okay. As long as you keep coming back to, I'm going to get this right. I'm going to get this right sense. Now, I'm not saying don't ever go out. What I am saying is make it a conscious decision. If you're going to go out, commit to it and be like, you know what? Friday night is pizza night, and we're going to do pizza on Friday. Cool. No argument here. It's also not adding the Taco Bell and the Jimmy John's and the everything Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. It is a treat, not a lifestyle. It is a treat, not a lifestyle. I want you to enjoy it. And those experiences are fun. Have a fresh slice of pizza. Have a movie night. That's okay. But be deliberate that that is how you're choosing to spend your money. You say, well, I can be deliberate and spend like that every day. I go, yeah, and you'll be poor. And I don't think that that's the goal. So if the goal is, I want to make sure I save money, then you got to be deliberate with how you spend it so that you can save as much as you can. And it's not about not never having fun or never getting to do anything. It's about consciously making these decisions as opposed to reacting to emotions and then spending resources as a means of somehow covering up or mitigating how you're feeling in that moment instead of dealing with real world problems and having real world answers that can last the long run and not drain your wallet. So I want you to have answers for your top stressors. And when you do, I want you to spend the next few weeks reading through them aloud each day, talking through what the game plan is in advance, and I want you to execute on it. These habits take time. You'll need to consciously think about them for a while. But it is through this process that you begin to rewire your brain out of spend, spend, spend mode, and keep more of what you earn. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Money is Personal. Make sure to hit that follow, subscribe, share this thing with family and friends. We'd love to continue the outreach and have more people listening in. I got a notification from Spotify that listening was up 57% this past year, which was awesome. I'd love to see great growth moving ahead here too. We make absolutely no money putting out this podcast. So here's the good news. We're doing this to help you. We're doing this to help you. It helps our clients as well. It's part of our overall, I'd say, ecosystem as a firm. But bottom line is, genuinely, this thing is here to just help you and take what you can from this, apply it to your daily life, and we want to see you improve your finances. That's a big goal. That's why I started my firm. That's why I got into this industry, is to help people. So I hope this is helpful to you. I also hope that if you like what you're hearing here, catch up the other 152 episodes on our website at BriggsWealth.com. Also, feel free to follow us, like us on Facebook and Instagram. We have lots of tips and tricks and quotes and thoughts and ideas that aren't just covered in the podcast or an article or whatever, but some daily stuff and some weekly stuff going on there as well. So if you want some more of that in your life, make sure to do that, and we'd be happy and honored to have you as part of our community. So thank you so much. Have a great week. Be safe, be well, and we'll catch you with a fresh episode next week. Take care, everybody. Thank you for listening to Money is Personal, the Briggs Financial Podcast. Please follow Briggs Financial on Instagram and Facebook for more terrific personal financial stories and ideas. And check out our firm's website at www.briggswealth.com to schedule a free consultation. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. This information is provided for informational and educational purposes only. Briggs Financial believes the information has been obtained from sources considered to be reliable, but does not guarantee the accuracy of the information being provided. This information is not meant to be a complete summary or statement of all available data for making financial or investment decisions, and does not constitute a recommendation. Please note that the information provided may include references to concepts that have legal, accounting, and tax implications. It is not to be construed as legal, accounting, or tax advice, and is provided as general information to you to assist in understanding the issues discussed. This information is not meant as a financial or investment advice pertaining to your personal situation. The selection of appropriate investment or planning options and/or strategies should be made on an individual basis after consultation with appropriate legal, tax, or financial advisors. Nothing contained herein is intended as a solicitation or an offer to buy or sell any product or service mentioned, and they may not be suitable for all investors.